Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin of Lakers Daily, joined by Aaron Larsoul. We are doing this on a Wednesday this week instead of our usual Thursday, because Thursday, Aaron goes to the games, and on Thursday, I will be talking to Raj after the game. And then, you know, Friday will be our my typical happy hour episode, although depending on the outcome of Thursday, might not be all that happy. So we'll see how it goes. Aaron,
yes.
How are you holding up? My first question for you was, that is a really nice quarter zip. I need to know where I can get that. I need to know.
Shit, this is the first time I even put it on. You can have this one. I'm not kidding. You can have that. I'll get another one. No, if I care. No, you know what? I didn't have a shirt on today, and I was doing a little work and didn't have a shirt on today, and it was a little cold, and I was looking around for something, and I have a bunch of Lakers shit in the closet, a bunch of Lakers gear, and this one had tags on it still, so I took the tags off and put it on. So I've been wearing it around the house today. This is the first time I've ever put it on, so you can have it.
I'm a fan of quarter zips. I've reached that portion of my life.
I may have a couple other ones, too. If you want.
It's a big part of, like, I think once you have your first kid, you go from hoodies to quarter zips for some reason.
Okay.
And then like the after the second kid, it's just like, I mean, I do like the occasional hoodie. The problem with hoodies is that girlfriends, fiancés, wives, like once a man buys a hoodie,
it's our hoodie.
Immediately inherited by your significant other.
For you know what? It doesn't even have to be a significant other. It can be just someone who has been over at your place. They don't have to be that significant.
Mess with quarter zips. So I kind of like that. Getting quarter zips because,
Jen's not going to. This one has this weird, the thumb thing, the weird, you know, you can put your thumb through the end of the sleeve kind of thing. Don't know what the purpose is of
now,
that.
Jen would be interested in that now.
I don't think this is going to fit her particularly, but I don't know what the purpose of this
is. My hoodies.
There's a size differential between you and your wife. That is true. I don't know. Send me your address. I'll send it to you.
No, I'm going to be out there this summer. I'm going to be out there this summer.
Yeah, but by then, some non-significant other of mine may have. may have taken it because it does have the thumb holes for the sleeves, you know. And to your point, how much
I just need to know where to get it. That. Like, I'll have.
I don't know if you can. Well, I can tell you where I got this one from the equipment from the equipment room at the Lakers practice facility. So I don't know if they. I don't know if this may be NBA store. I think it is. This may be commercially available. I'm not sure.
I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna go look so that I don't break any ethics of journalism by accepting a gift from a team that I cover. I'm kidding. I'm totally no, by no means whatsoever above any of those gifts. Send me all the gifts, everybody who
I will send you. I will send you this. I may I don't care for quarter zips at all. Actually, maybe it's because I don't have any children.
No, I'm telling you. Once you have a kid, it's I wasn't that into them, and then I had kids, and I was like, oh,
well, I will. Look at this. I just got tickets for the game tomorrow. I will say, I'll send you this. And I think I have some more untouched quarter zips that I know I have a gray one. And I may have a black one that I can send your way also.
Sounds good. All right. So today on the show, which we are talking right now on YouTube at youtube.com/@LakersLounge. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow Aaron on Twitter at Aaron Larsoul. You can subscribe to the show everywhere that you get podcasts, preferably on Odyssey. And today on this show, we are going to be talking about this game three, which I know, Aaron, we're going to break your rule. You say that the only must wins are the ones that would otherwise end your season. I disagree. Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking.
What do you mean we're going to break my rule? We're not breaking my rule. I still say it's not a must win.
Well, I disagree. I'm going to break your rule.
What is the rule?
No, like your rule, your thought on.
Oh, yes. Okay. You're going to disagree with my thought. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Got you.
I've also seen a lot of kind of consternation over the way that LeBron handles the offense late. So I want to, kind of address some of that. Robert Horry actually voiced that opinion on Spectrum, which really kind of surprised me because normally LeBron and whoever the Lakers coach is tends to be, and I think Rob also, tends to be off limits at Spectrum, and it really kind of surprised me to hear Rob kind of go at LeBron a little bit there for the way that he handles the offense late. So we'll discuss some of that. And then also, it's kind of flown under the radar because of the way that the Lakers have lost these two games, because of the entire situation, because for a variety of reasons, Rui and Reeves have both been really quiet in the series, and they're doing a lot defensively. So I think that's part of what people are taking into account. But also, like, you need more from them offensively. You've relied on them throughout the year, especially the last like quarter of the season. You really relied on both of those guys once Rui started starting. And not getting anything or not getting nearly as much from both of those players, I think, has really taken its toll on the Lakers offense in this series. So we'll discuss what can be done to get those guys going. I also saw a stat that kind of like this is what happens all the time. You know, you have a devastating loss, and then the next 24 hours are just talking in your own head about like the what ifs and how like that could be avoided. And hey, they're pretty close. Maybe they're close enough to win game three or whatever. Then I saw a stat from Ryan Blackburn that apparently the Nuggets are only shooting like 26% on wide open threes. It's like, damn it, the Lakers could play better, but the Nuggets could play way better too.
I don't think they can.
Trudell, the Lakers can't, or the Nuggets can't?
The Lakers. I don't think the Lakers can play better than they did in game two.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I think there is a chance the Nuggets can play worse than they did. But I disagree that the Lakers did not play a perfect game, and it's going to take basically a perfect game to beat Denver. If Denver is, even good? Because that Denver, 14. I didn't think Denver was that good. I mean, Jamal Murray cooked at the end, but he was whatever 3 of 16 before that. He wasn't doing anything.
He looked pretty lost until Gabe Vincent started guarding him.
So yeah, I don't. I really like. I think the Lakers have played 1 in 1.6 like really good games. I think game two, the Lakers can't play any better. And maybe that, maybe there's something, maybe you, like to your point, maybe you feel good about that because, you know, the Lakers have played, you know, the Lakers, I would get, let's say the Lakers played an A game on in game two and like a B plus game in game one. So the Lakers have played well. Maybe that makes you feel good. Hey, the Lakers are playing well against Denver. Maybe there's a world in which the Nuggets play their C minus game a couple times and, you know, and get back in the series. But, or you can also look at it as that is as well as we can play. And it wasn't good enough for against a good, but not great effort against Denver. I could both ways. I think there's a fair argument both ways.
I don't know if you're a video game guy.
Not recently. I haven't played in years and years and years, but yeah.
Okay. So there's one of my favorite games all the time, cause I am a video game guy. It's like, it's one of my favorite ways to kind of turn off my brain at the end of the night.
Yep.
One of my favorite games all time is Red Dead Redemption 2. Well, one was good, but two was really, really good.
That is the white people shit there, boy. And I loved it. And I loved it. That was the last game I've played.
Yeah. Okay.
Was my shit. Yes, that's white people shit, but that was my shit.
did you ever do horse racing in the second one?
Maybe. Do you want a quick Red Dead Redemption? This connects.
Well,
to the Lakers.
The games that the Lakers have played against the Nuggets so far, it reminds me a lot of horse racing in Red Dead Redemption 2, where you can get like the best horse in the game. There's actually, it's not really a cheat code because you got to go and actually get the horse, but you can get the best horse in the game really early on by just going basically back to where the game started. So you go and you get this horse. It's the fastest horse. It maneuvers the best of any horse in the game. It is just, it's the perfect horse. And you can, you know, and then from then on, you can win any horse race that you're in. And the easiest way to win any horse race that you're in is to get challenged. And then you basically just kind of tail you stay right on the horse's tail that you're racing.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
The character's horse that you're racing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then if you have this really good horse, you can just blow it away down the home stretch. Right. And that's just how you can. I have a perfect record in that game on horse racing because that's exactly how you do it. And I have won now, we'll just say, you know, a fun arbitrary number, completely arbitrary number. 10 horse races in a row, right? Because, you know, the Nuggets, I mean, I would just stay right there with my competition and just blow that horse away there at the very end. And that's exactly how all of these Lakers Nuggets games have gone, right? The Nuggets just do enough to kind of stick around. They stick around, and then boom, they just take off and they beat the absolute piss out of the Lakers in these clutch minutes. I think, I saw a stat that Anthony Davis in the second half held a 135.2 defensive rating in game two against the Nuggets. The Nuggets offense late against the Lakers, they've had at least a few games here in a row where they'll just score on 8 or 9 out of the final 10 possessions,
it was 7 of 8 in the last game. I think it was in the last 3, whatever. It was, they made 7 straight shots, and scored on, I think actually they made 7 straight shots and scored on 8 of 9 possessions. The one was the 2 Jamal Murray free throws on that garbage foul call against LeBron late. The only one they didn't score on was when LeBron tipped the ball away, when it switched out onto Murray and tipped the ball away from him and got the dunk with whatever 1 something left. It feels the Nuggets, at least against the Lakers, and I'm fairly convinced against maybe anybody, the Nuggets feel pretty inevitable.
which that's the word I've been using for them all year.
Yeah, I don't really know what's the white people movies, the Marvel ones, right? Who's like the big bad guy at the last two, and he's that kind of feels like them. I haven't really seen that shit, but that's kind of what it feels, right? Like, isn't he supposed to be inevitable or something? Isn't that what they say about him? Yeah. So
hard to call a series of movies that has a like big time character called Black Panther white people shit, but you know, that's just one of
them. Black Panther's in. I mean, I've seen Black Panther. I haven't seen Black Panther 2, but I've seen Black Panther. But is he like heavily featured in all the other ones?
He has his own movie in one of them, and
that's
then,
what I'm saying. I've seen Black Panther.
And then, like, the big fight in the second one takes place in the Black Panther's backyard. Right.
Oh, all right.
In Wakanda.
I don't know. So. You tell me. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say like he doesn't there by in all of those movies, there's like a ton of heroes there. So like I would say he's as featured as any.
Okay. Okay. Does he get some licks in against
I would
Thanos?
Say though that like I would say that with game three coming up, right? And the reason I use the Red Dead Redemption thing as the analogy here is that like the Lakers have to, you know, blow them out of the water and force the Nuggets to go into turbo mode way earlier in the game. And I got so angry in game two when the starters were playing really, really well. And then Spencer came in at only like the 6 minute mark. It's like, no, when the starters are playing this well, and especially D'Angelo Russell, who Spencer came in for, is playing as well as he is. You need to keep that going, right? I kind of look at D'Angelo Russell as blackjack in a casino, where if you're it like the best way for you to beat the house is to go on a run. And while you're on that run, absolutely maximize your winnings and put as much money onto the table while you're on that run, and then get out as soon as things appear to be turning. Right. For me, anytime I see a new dealer when I'm at a blackjack table, I cash out. I get up out of there. And I think with D'Lo, he had it going. You're on that streak there, and you got up from the table. You subbed him out of the game. You got up from the table way earlier than you had to. And instead of finishing that quarter with like a, what'd they finish with? Like a 4-point lead in the first quarter, right?
Yeah, something like that. It was 15-15 at half, yeah.
Instead of finishing that first quarter with a 4-point lead, you needed to finish with a 10-point lead. And then instead of finishing the second quarter with a 14-ish point lead, you got to get up there and try to get it. And I know that, you know, this is all a lot to ask for, but basically the Nuggets feel like they can play with their food here against the Lakers, and they've been proven to be correct. And what the Lakers have to do is take more advantage of those stretches where the Nuggets play with their food, so that by the time they do get serious, it's too late and they can't actually catch back up to the Lakers. And that's, you know, the Lakers have this game on Thursday. For my money, it's an absolute must win. No, it won't end your season literally if you lose it, but it's curtains, right? You're down 3-0 to the defending champs and a team that at that point would have won 11 straight to you. There is no other way to consider this game on Thursday than must win. Like, unless, you know, you're as staunch as Aaron is with his rule. In the semantics here, the Lakers have to do that. And I'm really curious how Darvin handles this. He said going into game two that he was going to go back to his normal rotations. I thought that was a mistake. You have to treat this game as a game seven. This is it. Like, this is your season. And that, I think, means you only pick one of the two between Spencer Dinwiddie and Gabe Vincent. I don't even care if Christian Wood is available. I don't think he should play regardless. I could see an argument for Jared Vanderbilt getting a couple minutes here and there, but even that's difficult to ask somebody who's missed multiple months to come in and play in a game seven setting against the best team in the league. I know you're gonna say that this isn't a technical or an actual literal must win here, Aaron, but like, would you agree that Darvin has to treat this like a game seven? And do you think he will?
I think he has to treat it. I wouldn't say game seven, but I think it has to be treated like at least a playoff game, right? And not going back to your regular rotation. Like, Austin played 33 minutes.
That's a mistake.
It's just not enough, right? So, yeah. I don't know about game seven, but I think it needs to be treated like a playoff. Like, I think it needs to be treated as it is, which is a playoff game against somebody that has your number, that is also just feels like the boogeyman. And yeah, I mean, look, the Lakers aren't going to win this series anyway, but yeah, if the Lakers lose on Thursday, tomorrow, as we record this, their season's over. Yeah. I mean, not actually, but yeah. So I think that, yes, I don't, you know, whatever you're saying a game seven is, he has to like really play, you know, play the starters 42 to 44 minutes each. And then, you know, one or two bench players plays 10 or 12, whatever it becomes. Yeah, I think that that's, if that's what a game seven definition is to you, fine. That's like a Tibbs. That's like a Monday, like a Monday in February for Tibbs. So yeah, I think the Lakers need to lean on their guys like normal playoff rotations do. Some teams, actually, to be fair to Darvin, some teams don't do that until a little later in the playoffs. Some teams in the first round, especially early in the first round, are going to play more guys, but it appears the Lakers can't get away with that. So yeah, and now the question is, will he? I don't know. I'm interested in, well, there's two things. I'm interested in how Darvin handles this, and I'm also very interested in how the guys handle this. And I think we're going to know a lot about it. I did not go to Denver. So I was not on the flight back. I've heard that it was pretty somber on the flight back to LA. Understandably, I have not talked to any of the guys since they've been back, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how the guys handle it in the first quarter, like right at the beginning. I think we're going to see something interesting. Like, I think we're going to know something about this right from the beginning, right? What kind of fight is there in the first quarter, in the first few possessions? And did game two sap belief from the guys? Like, put the Darvin part aside for a second. Did game two sap belief from the guys? It goes back to our earlier question, right? Like, you're playing well, and so do you feel good about playing well, or do you feel bad about playing well and still can't get a win? So I think the first, you know, whatever, 3-4 minutes of the game tomorrow are going to tell us a lot. And it may not matter. The Lakers maybe just simply cannot beat the Nuggets, but I think we're going to see a lot, and we'll learn a lot about kind of the fight and some of the mentality and the psyche of this team early, I think, tomorrow.
That's what's annoying. They've handled business early. They've looked great early in most of these games. Like,
we're going to know very quickly if, like, that would show up. Yes, the Lakers have started well in the first two games, but that, if the Lakers don't believe anymore, right? If that could have been a soul snatching way to lose game two. And if it was, I think that will show up early in game three. And if that's the case, like, the Lakers are getting swept and it's over with. We're going to learn how much fight is in these guys in the beginning of game three, I think.
Yeah. I want to spend some time here on the LeBron aspect of this, because I think when the Lakers have looked their best, they have actually played through Anthony Davis, and or they've, you know, more consistently featured Anthony Davis. And when they look their worst, it's LeBron matchup hunting. And the thing with that five man lineup that, again, is we're reaching the point here where not only do I think it's the best five-man lineup in the league, but I think it's going to be one of those groups that we look back on as like one of those groups, you know, like,
oh yeah, they're awesome.
They're so damn good together. But like, you know, LeBron has matchup hunted a lot down the stretch. For some reason, he's avoided matchup hunting Jamal Murray. And then for some reason, when he's been guarded by KCP, he's been reluctant to post him up, which has been super weird to me. But to me, what I would like to see the Lakers do, and actually we have a super comment on it anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and play this bad boy. Anthony and Jenny Neal asking, I get logistically it is not possible. However, what are the thoughts of having LeBron act like Jokic on the offensive end, high post touches, etc.? Like, that to me is when LeBron is at his absolute deadliest, right? Whether it's in the short roll, catching that slip pass between or that pocket pass from Austin. If it's against a team that goes zone, the best thing that the Lakers have basically done is just put LeBron in the middle of it and allow him to pick it apart from there. But for whatever reason, against the Nuggets, and maybe it's just what the Nuggets are giving the Lakers, he has spent a lot more time kind of yo-yoing up and down 30 feet from the basket at the very top of everything where the defense can completely key in on him. This to me, you know, I know that I kind of roll my eyes every time older fans will basically go like, you just need to get the ball in the post. You just need to get the ball in the post. You just need to get the ball in the post. But it was kind of Robert Horry's point, and he went at LeBron for going away in all of these games late from the offense that has gotten them there. What do you think of the way that LeBron has handled this? And do you think Anthony and Jenny's Neil's question here, you know, about the logistics of getting LeBron into the high post more than he's been in the series to this point?
No. And the reason for that is, well, there's lots of reasons for that. Excuse me. One is LeBron is not as feared of a scorer, shooter than Joker. And I don't know what you do with Anthony Davis then. You could say you would just have him play the Aaron Gordon role where he's kind of in the dunker spot. But I think that starts clogging stuff up.
That's kind of what Rui does.
Yeah. And Aaron Gordon also spaces. He'll stand in the corner. He's an okay shooter. He's a better three-point shooter than AD. But the other reason he stands in the corner is because it gets people away from. He's a threat enough that it gets people away from there. So I like sitting LeBron in the high post to play as Joker. I think it's going to clog. I think you're going to get clogged up too much because LeBron does not have that Joker like touch around the rim, the floater game. And LeBron is not as feared. I mean, LeBron had a great year shooting the ball, but he is not as feared of a shooter as Joker from distance. So I think there's a philosophical question here, which is like AD was destroying Joker and they took AD, they took Joker off of him, put Aaron Gordon on him. And even went to your point earlier, went to KCP against LeBron. The question then becomes, do you run your offense like what has worked and do you keep going to AD? That's what I would have suggested. I think AD should have gotten more touches. AD was cooking. He was cooking Joker. See if how he's going to do on Aaron Gordon. The one time he went at him, he scored on him pretty easily. Or do you say, okay, we want to go at a certain person? And both have their, both can have their merits. I think the problem though is the Lakers are letting, when KCP guards, either just straight up guard him, LeBron, or is switched onto him, it's LeBron is on the perimeter, to your point earlier, and he's been reluctant to go post KCP up. You lose your advantage when, like, if you're matchup hunting and you're looking at mismatches, yes, like KCP is way too small to guard LeBron. But if that engagement happens 80% of the time on the perimeter, KC's not really at a disadvantage there. He's a really good perimeter defender.
Yeah.
And that size is not going to come into play. You're asking, if your question is, why does it feel like LeBron is shooting jumpers and kind of floating around on the perimeter dribbling and not, you know, posting up KCP at the end of the game? It's because he's 39 years old and is out of gas, especially in Denver, right? That takes a lot out of you, going to the rim as much as he does, getting fouled as much as he does, and not having it called etc. takes, like, he's just, LeBron has looked tired at the end of both games. That takes, he just can't do it anymore. He cannot.
But doesn't that make it more nonsensical or nonsensible that illogical that LeBron like still tries doing all of those things? Because
you're gonna tell LeBron like you don't have the ball. Like, no one's telling, nobody in the history of planet Earth is taking the ball out of LeBron's hands.
Well, I would at least say, like, hey, why don't you at least run the inverted pick and roll with Austin? Like, do something other than just stand up there and run as many pick and rolls as it takes to be guarded by the guy that you want, when there's nobody in that five-man lineup that is worth hunting. There's not a single person on that team.
Murray's pretty big. Murray is not a good defensive player. I think you can still attack Joker in space. The Lakers don't really have the
personnel. Not when LeBron is as gassed as he is.